Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Painting, poetry, photography, sewing, even songwriting. These are some of the arts activities that Gianna Rodriguez and the organization Baltimore Youth Arts bring to young people across Baltimore. Baltimore Youth Arts, which is run by artists, provides artistic and professional opportunities to teens. It tries to empower them to become leaders in their communities. Gianna Rodriguez, who started Baltimore Youth Arts, has just received a community fellowship from the Open Society Institute Baltimore. Like the nine other fellows, Rodriguez will receive $60,000 over the next 18 months to fund a local project. The nonprofit Open Society Institute focuses on the needs of Baltimore's underserved communities, and Gianna Rodriguez's project focuses on one such community, formerly incarcerated young people who have returned to their communities. Gianna Rodriguez, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about Baltimore Youth Arts.
BYA supports youth artists. Many young people who are incarcerated don't have access to art-making opportunities. And we really aim to develop relationships with young people that we meet within juvenile detention facilities, reconnect with them in the community, and then provide them with job training opportunities, arts training, portfolio building opportunities.
Well, there's a whole lot there, but let me ask you first, when you say many youth who are in detention or incarcerated don't have access to art, I would think some listeners are thinking, with all the issues in their lives, is art really something that's important for them to have access to?
I wholeheartedly believe yes.
Why?
For myself, if it weren't for the arts, I don't think I would have made it through school, high school, college.
Tell me about that.
I've always had an interest in art. I wanted to go to art school. I applied to art schools. I got into art schools and then chose rather to focus on theory and social justice work and finding ways to integrate the arts into that. Also, I have people close to me who say that the arts have saved their lives. And from doing this work for about 8 years now, having witnessed the impact of the arts on young people and on communities. So it's not that learning how to paint or learning how to draw is going to change the world, right? It's about the arts as an opportunity to build community, to develop relationships. And, you know, if a young person can finish a painting, they can do another task. They're transferable skills. If young people create a collaborative piece together, they're practicing teamwork, they're practicing sharing, patience, compromising, which are all really important skills in life, in other job areas.
How did you come to focus on young people who'd been incarcerated and are home again?
I've been doing work with youth in detention since 2008, and I started doing this work for very personal reasons. I've had family members with interactions with the justice system and substance abuse issues, and that affected my life, myself growing up. And my mother's an educator, and she's a very strong, compassionate person who really instilled in me the belief that good people make bad decisions, and it wasn't fair to criminalize people for making certain choices, but to understand that you make choices because of, say, traumatic experiences you've had, and that everyone deserves a second chance or a third chance.
When you're working with young people at a detention facility, leading a writing class or drawing class, what do you hear from them?
Overwhelmingly positive responses. The detention centers we work in, there are no consistent arts programs. There's no art teacher. And so it provides a break in the day. So, you know, you think about a teenager and you think about how at that age you're figuring out who you are. You're testing the world and seeing where you fit in it. And also, you know, exploring and experimentation. And within detention centers, you don't really have too much time to do those things, right? You're told when to go to bed, when to get up, when to go to the bathroom, when to shower. And what we try and do in the classes we offer is create an environment where young people can explore and be creative and work with one another.
Describe to me what you'll be doing with Baltimore Youth Arts now that you are an OSI Community Fellow.
So the fellowship is to really focus on creating a year-round employment program, because BYA was created because youth in detention, as I said, don't have access to art-making opportunities, and also the relationships that young people develop with adults, whether they're program staff or facility staff in these facilities, don't extend beyond those walls.
The kids leave. Kids. Connection is over.
Exactly. Or really on and off. It's not consistent. Mm-hmm. So the goal is to develop relationships with youth inside and reconnect with them in the community. So young people who have responsibilities to take care of their families, provide for themselves, can't just take part in art classes, right? It's unfair, I think, to expect that they show up for 2, 3, 4 days a week to take a painting class or a drawing class without being compensated. A number of the young people we work with have contact with the justice system, are currently under supervision by the state, and need money. And they're either going to
They need money to live on. They
to live on, to support their families. And they're either going to get it through a job that they enjoy going to and showing up for, or they're going to get money by doing illegal things. And this is a reality that it's real, and we talk about with young people, and they really strive to do something different. And this is an opportunity for them to do something different.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Gianna Rodriguez, one of this year's 10 Open Society Institute Community Fellows. Her project will be an expansion of Baltimore Youth Arts to include a professional development and employment program for teens. You can imagine that this might be a controversial idea to some people, that you're going to pay young people essentially to take art classes. Is that a fair description, or
It's more than that. So it's art training. It's youth working with local artists. We also have a job readiness component. So it's on-the-job training that they're paid for. Mm-hmm. So they learn how to write a resume, what a cover letter is, how to write a cover letter, where to look for jobs, how to apply for jobs. We talk about professionalism and interview tips and tricks, things like that. So it's not just come paint. It's a mix of arts, job training, and also talking about issues that are facing communities here around the world.
So are you already doing this, or will this be a new?
Well, right now we have classes, and in the spring time we're hoping to transition to a new structure where youth are working on collaborative projects over the span of, say, 3 months at a time. And these things would be either like public art pieces or installations.
And about how many young people are either already involved, or do you expect to be involved over the course of your fellowship?
So since July, we've worked with 150 youth. Now, young people we connect with within, say, the Baltimore City Juvenile Justice Center or Waxer's Children's Center in Laurel, we might see them 2 times or 3 times because it's such a transitional place, right? Young people get adjudicated or go to court and are sentenced to, say, 3 weeks or a month, and then they go to placement or they go home. So it's not as though we've been working with that many young people over the span of, what is that, 5 months, 6 months? We have been working with a consistent group of youth, probably about 35 for that time.
And so, I mean, one of the things that we have heard from other OSI fellows is a concern about how to make a difference in 18 months, which is how long fellowship is.
Yeah.
So tell me your thoughts about that.
So 18 months is not a long time. It's a short amount of time. Now, like, a whole lot of has happened with BYA, with Baltimore, with the U.S. in a year, right? So many things have happened. In my eyes, as long as young people are being put behind bars or in prison, this work will continue, right? So it's difficult for me to say, what is knowing success about this program? To put it simply, it's to at least establish a year-round training program with consistent funding and also put into place an internship program for youth who have gone through that, who maybe want to take a next step and want to pursue a career in the arts.
What kind of impact do you see this project having in the community?
We understand that youth are stigmatized, criminalized, more specifically youth of color, right? We can see that by seeing who's in prison. I'm not just talking about Baltimore, but nationally, the percentage of youth of color is drastically higher than their white peers. So the goal is looking at youth, supporting them in the skills that they do have, and being able to showcase that to the community so that community members can see that they have something to offer. It's to try and change that dynamic, right? Because there are a lot of problems within Baltimore where youth of color are being criminalized without taking part in any crime because of what some people hear on the news or talk about or see. It's a blanket is put over all youth of color, and that is something that we want to shift. We want people to be able to look at young people and see the immense talent they have and be able to see what they can offer.
And so when you talk about that, are you talking about the art projects that young people will collaborate on and the public would see that? Or are you talking about the individual young person learning how to present herself in a job interview, on a resume, or all of that?
I would say all of that. And this man I spoke to in Boston, Massachusetts, part of a program called Artists for Humanity, gave a really great analogy for me that I've held for a while. And he said, you know, you can go to Subway and a teenager can make you a sandwich. And okay, cool. This teenager's made you a sandwich. But when you need an art project completed, say a t-shirt that's designed, and you have no idea how to draw, and you don't know how to screen print, you don't know how to make shirts, you work closely with a young person. You're their client. They are the artist providing you with a product. And that relationship has the potential to create more impact than that, say, buying a sandwich from a teenager or going into a store and seeing that a teenager works there.
What have you already learned from the young people you're working with in the since July?
So in the summer, we did too much. We tried to pack too much in to what we were doing a mural and clothing design and trying to get a book finished. And it was great. It was fun. It was productive. A lot of really great things came out of it. But at the end, staff and youth were just like, never again can we do this with such a small space, with so many of us and such a short amount of time, because 6 weeks goes by so fast. And so for this, for the fall, we decided, okay, let's try classes. Every day, we're going to do a different class. We do job writingness on Mondays, writing on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, we have painting open studio. And on Thursdays, we have DJing hip-hop. And youth are now like, miss, you know, we go to school, we come here, and then we have to take a class. This isn't working out. And I'm like, you know, it's not working out for me either. And other staff have their own feedback that aligns. So next, moving forward, we're going to try and do one big project every session that everyone's working on collaboratively and see how that goes.
Good luck.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel good about it.
I appreciate you telling us about it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Gianna Rodriguez has received a 2016 Open Society Institute Baltimore Community Fellowship. For the next year and a half, she will be working to further her project, Baltimore Youth Arts. There are 9 other Open Society Institute fellows this year. Other projects include a diaper bank for struggling families and a mentoring program that connects teachers and students. You can find profiles of other OSI fellows at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. A quick break and then a Stoop story about a man who would be king. Stay with us.